Morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama is Sadi Beis. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lona Zechman's monthly, but Gabriela Bashmuel. We are starting today on Sadi Aleph, Amud Aleph, and we are in the middle of Perka Chova. Perka Chova is dedicated to the topic of damages that one person does to another person, and the payments, the obligations that one needs to pay. We are having the following discussion in the Gemara. We're on Sadi Aleph and Amud Aleph. We are going to start at the two dots that is about a quarter of the way down the page. It's the second word in the line, Yibai Lahu. We started the discussion yesterday in the Gemara, but it's a good place to start in terms of just refreshing the topic. Yibai Lahu, the Gemara asked the following question. Yesh Umad Lezikin. Oein Umad Lezikin is there has to be an approximation, some sort of evaluation when it comes to Nezek. Meaning, at this point in time, the question could be going on the weapon or it could be going on the person himself. We're going to clarify that point later on in the Gemara, but in the meantime, however, just to leave the question kind of open-ended, do we have to do some sort of evaluation when damages occur? So the Gemara says, look, by murder, so as we already established yesterday's daf, so you have to be clear about what the murder weapon was. There was a discussion, debate amongst the time whether or not the murder weapon and it has to be brought to court. That was Machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Shimon HaTimani. Rabbi Shimon HaTimani says it has to be brought to court. Rabbi Akiva says no, it does not. And it was based on the fact that the Torah compared the fist to a murder weapon. Obviously, the fist of the assailant is going to be brought to court, so the murder weapon has to be brought to court as well. So was the opinion of Shimon HaTimani. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion, no, only the Edom need to see the murder weapon, but does not have to be brought to court as well. And Rabbi Akiva had a number of arguments, number of attacks against the opinion of Shimon HaTimani that we saw together in yesterday's daf. In the meantime, however, that is regarding murder. We're not talking about murder right now. We're talking about nezek. We're talking about damages. So, aval nezikin, kol duhu. So, maybe by nezek, so it doesn't matter. Meaning, as long as damages were accomplished, you don't need to see what caused the damage. Odem aloshna. Maybe there's no difference. Just like by murder, there has to be a visualization of the murder weapon. So, to by damages, there has to be a visual of the damage weapon. So, tashma, the gemara says, come in here. Ma'abor sheishbo k'de lahamis asar tfachim. Of course, sheishbo. So as we already discussed yesterday, I mean, we saw this yesterday, but as we already discussed, look, when it comes to a pit 10 tfachim deep is expected to kill an animal. Anything less than 10 tfachim deep is not expected to kill an animal. However, if damages occur in the pit, as long as even if it's less than 10 tfachim, so then the digger of the pit is going to be liable to pay for the damages. Now, my lav mimata lamala kachashiv achi kamar mitevach ve'ad asara misa leka nezikanika. Now, when it said less than 10 tfachim, meaning numerically, which direction did we go? Did we go from the direction of 1 tefach, 2 tenth fachim, meaning it doesn't matter how deep the pit is. Even if the pit is the shallowest pit, made up of only one tefach, it's a 3 to 4 inch depression in the ground. That's really not a lot. And amal nezikin kol dehu, and then somebody fell into such a pit. I mean, we wouldn't even call that a pit. And someone fell into such a pit, and someone damaged, and you'd be obligated, and you'd be liable, despite the fact that really that caused that kind of damage. And so the proof could be made, the argument could be made that for nezik we don't do any type of evaluation. So the Gemara says, "Shmamina, inom dilun azikin." So, and if we're right, so that's a good proof that we don't make evaluations when it comes to nezek. Lo, nimala lemata kachashiv. So the Gemara says, no, we misunderstood the point of the brisa. The point of the brisa is that with the brisa says, if it's 10 tefachim deep, so then that's going to cause death. Comma. Now, if it's anything less than 10 tefachim deep, meaning numerically we're scaling back from the number 10. V'hachi kamar, sara misa ika pachus me'asara, pursa nezikin isa, misa leka, meaning if you're going now from 10 down to 9 tefachim, 9 tefachim is not going to cause death, but 9 tefachim probably is going to cause damage. And that I can perfectly understand. And so there, you're going to have to pay the damages. However, so the Gemara says, but we're always going to need to do some sort of approximation, some sort of evaluation, because 9 probably does nezek, but who knows? Is three tefachim going to make nezek? Is 2? Is 1? So in other words, that's the way they understand the brisa. But really, truth be told, is that you always need some sort of approximation. Tashma, the Gemara is going to continue this discussion. If a person were to hit his Eved Kanani on the eye, ear, or Right, on the eye or on the ear, and causes irreparable damage to the point where now one of the extremities has been permanently damaged, so the Evakadani goes free. Okay, the halacha that we've been exploring a lot recently. So, and that's only if the owner hit him directly on the eye or on the ear. However, kenegedai noveina roa, kenegedai noveina shamea. But let's say he doesn't hit it directly on the eye or the ear, but he hits it literally opposite the eye or the ear. Exactly what does that mean? So Rashi over here paints a scenario. Keneged Eino, Rashi writes, he ka'u bekosel, keneged Eino shalzeh. So you don't hit the Evakanani directly on the ear, but you hit your hand on a wall that is right close up to the ear of the Evakanani. So it sounds like from Rashi some sort of shock vibration is hitting off the wall and rebounding onto a person's ear, onto his Evakanani's ear, and now ain Evad Yosebam Lechera. So as a technicality, again, obviously it's wrong what he did and it's not condoned, but as a technical point, so the Evakanani is not going to go free, because the only time the Evakanani goes free is if there was direct contact between the owner and the Evakanani. My timea. So the Gemara says, now why should that be? Oh, must be because we need an umdana. We need some sort of evaluation because yesh umdana lezikin, and because the general rule is that I need to evaluate when it comes to nezek. Is unclear, meaning the shock vibration is, he caused it, he caused a shock vibration. Grumma usually is speaking to the idea of like a delay. So, okay. So the Gemara says, "Lo mishum damrina, and who the ibayis nafshe?" So the Gemara says, no. Maybe over here, the reason why his Evakanani is not going to go free is because it could be that the Evakanani himself contributed to his own poor condition. Kid de Tanya. The Gemara says, you know, we have a brisa supporting this as well. So let's say you scare your friend. Okay, it's not the best of friends, but you scare your friend. And so, Dine Adam, so in terms of financial liability, so do you have a chiv mama? No. Is what you did correct? Not even close to correct. It's what you did is wrong. And the Gemara says, "Chai b'dinei shamayim," that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after 120 years, is going to have a talk with you. So, Ketzad, and examples of this would be Takabazn v'chirsho, Potter. If you blow in somebody's ear and he becomes deaf, so again, you didn't physically handle him. So, you're going to be Potter. Achzav Takabazn v'chirsho chayev. If you grab a person, so basically, you now are holding him and you're pinning him down, and then you literally blow in his ear, so then you're going to be chai because there you physically held on to him. Tashma. Sorry, period. So from there, once again, the Gemara deflects the proof, and the Gemara says that you don't necessarily see that you need an evaluation. It could be that over here, the exemption of the exemption from the rule of your Evakanani going free is simply because it may very well be that if you didn't physically handle him, so his own fear contributed to his own poor condition. Tashma. Gemara comes to discuss this one more time. Chamisha dvarim omdim oso v'nosin lo miyad. There are five things which we are ma'am. We evaluate, we approximate, and the payment has to come right away. When you damage somebody, so payment needs to come immediately. And on all five payments. Now, if you think about it, you'll realize that of the five payments, three of them could totally understand how payment is expected immediately. Let's think this through. So let's talk about the depreciation. Okay. In other words, you did some permanent damage to somebody else. We immediately recognize the depreciation of that person. So that's Nezek. Tsar, the pain. Again, assuming that we know how to assess, but that's something that could be assessed immediately. Boshes, the embarrassment. Now, that's something that could also be assessed immediately. Now, of the five payments, two of them cannot be assessed immediately, and that's going to be your medical bill, and that's going to be your workers' compensation, because those are things which are going to be contingent on how he heals. Sometimes people heal fast, sometimes people heal slow. So over here, this is something which one can imagine and envision shouldn't be paid right away. That's the chiddush of the Braisa. The Braisa is telling us that, despite the fact that you don't know how long it'll take to heal or how long it's going to be out of work, we do an umdana, we do some sort of evaluation, and then you pay the money right away. Now, this can work to the advantage or to the disadvantage of the nechbal, of the victim. Because let's say there was an approximation done and it'll take him a month to heal, and so they assess the ripui based on a month. And let's say it took him 2 months to heal, but because the halacha demands that you pay right away, you only pay the assessed amount at the beginning and not more than that. It also works in the other direction. Hivri nosnil lo kamasha amduhu, and let's say the person heals quicker. Okay, so in that regard, he's going to get a benefit because now they were assessed to pay him a month's worth of medical, and he got better in 2 weeks, so it works to his advantage. So this halacha that you have to pay immediately works to the advantage and disadvantage. Interesting, very interesting. The Gemara doesn't give any rationale why that should be. Why should it be that you have to pay all the payments, the five payments, up front and immediately? Why not wait? Why not wait until you see how the medical bill goes? So the easiest way to say it, And the way the Rishonim present it is that this is a benefit to the victim, because really truth of the matter is that the victim just got hit. We're now in the Department of Collections. Collections, he understands. So collections is really difficult, and especially if there's an outstanding bill. So now it just kind of sits and lingers. So once there's an expectation that you have to pay right away, okay, that'll make collection easier for the nechbal, for the one who was damaged. That is the general opinion in terms of why it is that we demand it. It is a consideration for the Nechbal. Again, it is a consideration for the Nechbal, but as the Gemara just pointed out, it may not work in his favor. It may be that it'll take him longer to heal and he's not going to get any more money, because the money that's given is only going to be based on the approximation. So, the Gemara now has discussed for the last 15 minutes this topic of whether or not we make an approximation. And to which the Gemara now is saying, you know, did you just hear what we learned? We just learned together that you make an approximation. Like, what are we having a discussion about? The Braisa says it very, very clearly. So the Gemara says, Shmamina. So the Gemara says, Yesh omen l'nezikin l'meimad, I'm sorry, Shmamina yesh omen l'nezikin, comma. So the Gemara says, L'meimad gavra, kama likatzer miyamaka, kama lo mikatzer, lo kami bailan. So the Gemara says, okay, you didn't understand the question to begin with. As far as an evaluation of the victim himself, that is not up for discussion, like we just got done saying. Of course you're going to evaluate the person who is victimized, and we're going to assess how much money he should get. That's clear. And that's what the Braisa said unequivocally. The Devade Amdina, Ki Kamibai, Lamemad Cheftza, I Avid Hainazika Olo. The question is, and truth of the matter is, we kind of knew this already because the Gemara was comparing it to the murder. Just like by the murder, we need to know what the murder weapon looked like, so too, when it comes to damages, we need to know what the damage weapon looks like as well to know whether or not such a damage weapon could cause such damage. Tashma. So finally, the Gemara is wrapping up on this topic. Shimon Timani Omer Ma Egrof Miyuchad Shemasar Le'eda Ula'edim Af Kol Miyuchad Shemasar Le'eda Ula'edim. So Shimon Timani uses the word kol. Kol means everything. So it presumably included everything. It is not only just murder weapons, but damaged weapons as well. Shmamina Yeshom L'zikin Shmamina. So the Gemara has concluded on this topic, and the Gemara now has realized that yes, we're going to make some sort of approximation with Nezik as well, meaning it goes without saying that we're going to evaluate the victim and his damage and how much he was damaged and how much he was owed. And the Gemara says, and that wasn't even open for discussion. But what was open for discussion was the damage weapon, but that also we're going to evaluate in order to see whether or not it could have caused that damage. Amar. Amdu of the Hebrew Nosan Lo Komasha Amdua, Misaila the Ravada Marava, Haimanda Amdula Kula Yoma, the Itpach, Lapaga Yoma, the Ka'avid Avidateya, Avina Le de Kula Yoma, Minshamayim Hudarach Mealea. This fits into what Rava says. Rava says that let's say there was an assessment that he was going to be outwork the whole day, and so therefore he received workers' compensation for the whole day, and then by lunchtime already he was up and back at work. And so now, good. So, is he going to get shortchanged on the workers' compensation? The Gemara, Rava says no. Why not? Because really the truth of the matter is that the approximation was right. Meaning the approximation is based on natural law. Natural law dictates, we speak to people who know, we speak to experts, they know. This normally takes a day to heal. And somehow by lunchtime he was healed, min shamayim karachme. A nace, that was a miracle. But that doesn't mean that he gets less in terms of his workers' comp. He still is going to get paid what was expected healing, and the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a break and showed him a little bit of Chasdei Hashem, so he does not lose out financially as a result of that. Rakak v'yigia bo harok v'hevir chule amara papa lo shenu ela bo ava bebigdo lo. The Gemara says that in order for you to be liable, financially liable, for spitting on somebody, the spit has to land on his body, on his physical body. Clothing is not going to be enough. Clothing is already considered too far removed to be financially liable. Again, it's patently wrong to do it. It's just a question of financial liability. The Gemara asked the question, well, what about embarrassing somebody with words, right? What we would normally consider to be embarrassment. So the Gemara says, Amri ben Marava, Mishmei de Rav Yosi bar Avin, Zosemers, Bisho bedvarim, Patmi klum. If you embarrass somebody with words, so then you're not going to be financially liable. So again, it's the same idea, it's the same point. It's just that it is embarrassing. Of course it's embarrassing. Of course it's wrong to do. It falls under the categories of onas devarim. One is not allowed to tease or taunt anybody or embarrass anybody. The Gemara in Sota, right? We saw it recently. That's funny. The Gemara in Sota says that that Tamar was ready to give up her life rather than embarrass her father-in-law / husband. Unclear from the conclusion whether they remain married. But anyway, but Tamar was ready to give up her life rather than publicly embarrass Yehuda. So it's wrong. There's no question that it's wrong. It's just a question of whether or not you're financially liable. And that also is really not a question. You're not financially liable. Financial liability comes with busha, but only busha with physical contact between assailant and victim. Like that which is explained in the Torah, right? The Torah described the scenario of busha. Two people were fighting. The woman steps in. The woman grabs another man. That's busha, meaning it has to have physical manipulation. Hakolafi kvodo. Ibailu hutanakama, lakula kama, lachumer kama. Now, in the Mishnah, remember we gave a menu. This is how much you have to pay. This is the kind of embarrassment you do. And the menu ranged from 100 to 200 to 400 zuz, depending on exactly what the kind of busha was. A tug of the hair, a tug of the ear, a slap of the back of the hand. And the Mishnah provided a menu with numbers. Now, the Mishnah then said, immediately after that, you know, hakolafi kvodo. You know, really, it fluctuates. Meaning, I'm giving you a limit. But the truth of the matter is that it fluctuates. Now, we're going to ask a very simple question and a really important question. When we say fluctuation, and when the Mishnah is giving a limit, is the Mishnah giving the upper limit or the Mishnah giving the lower limit? Is the Mishnah a ceiling or is the Mishnah a floor? That's an important question. So the Gemara says, and that's the way the Gemara phrases it is lechumer or lekula. So kama deika ani de law by le mishka kulehai o dim lechumer kama deika asher de by le mesav leitfei. Okay, and essentially, is the Mishnah saying that the numbers in the Mishnah are a ceiling, but you know if somebody's poor, so then you give them less, or is the Mishnah a floor, which is this is the base amount that you give, but if somebody is significant, important, so then you have to give even more. So the Gemara says Tashmam and dekamer Rabbi Kiva. Well, the Gemara says it's easy to figure out because in the next part of the Mishnah we were introduced to Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says every Jew is significant. Every Jew should be paid a lot. So what is that indicating? That's indicating that the Tanakhama's position is the numbers that are given are a ceiling. Meaning, we're not going to be paying any more than this. But, you know, somebody's poor, so you'll pay less. And that's what Rabbi Kiva was contesting. What do you mean somebody's poor? There's no such thing as a poor Jew. Meaning, yeah, and financially, tax returns, yes. But, in other words, he's a Jew. He's B'nai Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. You're going to give him the max, like you give anybody. So clearly then, the numbers reflected in the Tanakhama's viewpoint is the ceiling, not the floor. Then the Gemara, the Mishnah reported an incident. It was a great story where a man embarrassed a woman. I mean, the first part is not great, but the Rabbi Kiva part is great. A man embarrassed a woman by ripping off her tichel and in public. So he goes to the Beis Din, and Rabbi Kiva says, "Okay, you embarrassed her. You have to pay 400 zuz." And the man said, "Give me a little bit of time, And Rabbi Kiva, oddly, and that's the part we're going to focus on, oddly says, sure, I'll give you some time. Yeah. Okay, no problem at all. And then a setup. And the guy went to the woman's house and dropped oil in front of her, in front of her house. And she went ahead and she scooped up the oil and she put it in her hair. And in order to do so, she uncovered her own hair in public. So then he goes, and he had witnesses there. That was the setup. And he goes back to Rabbi Kiva and he says, I don't understand. She's ready to do this to herself. How can you obligate me to pay for something that she herself is ready to do? To which just going to give me 1 second. To which Rabbi Akiva said, I don't care what her behavior is, meaning, okay, fine, she wants to harm herself. That's her prerogative. But you don't have the right to do so, and therefore you're going to have to pay. Okay, yes?
Was it hers?
Was what hers?
Was it her oil?
No, but that didn't seem like that way from the story. Okay, so mi avinan zman. So the Gemara says, now, here's the part that was odd. When Rabbi Akiva obligated him to pay, so he said to Rabbi Akiva, give me some time. And Rabbi Kiva says, sure. And the Gemara says, what? That part's strange. So, Umi Avinan Zman Va'amar Rabbi Chanina, Ein Nosnin Zman L'Chavalos. But well, you hurt somebody, you go to Bezdin, Bezdin obligates you to pay, and then there's no delay. You don't ask for Bezdin for a little, you know, a pause, a little break, right? So the Gemara says, "Kilo yavin le zman lechavala dechasrei mamoni." Avala boshes lechasrei mamoni yavin. So the Gemara says, "Well, not exactly. Meaning for something where you actually depreciated the value, so for that you have to pay immediately. So for the nezek and for the ripui and for the shavis, where the effects, the financial effects, are felt immediately, and there's chisar and kiss, meaning that's out of pocket loss for the victim. So that of course you have to pay right away. But something like boshes, so boshes is no out of pocket loss." Meaning it's something that he suffered, but he didn't financially lose as a result of that. So that's something where, sounds like from the Gemara, at the discretion of the judge can say, okay, you don't have to pay that right away, you want some time for that, that's fine.
Does a bullshit payment create a shibud on the idiot of the...
All nezek creates a shibud. Presumably. I'll say that, but not with confidence. But presumably, okay. Shamra omedes al pesach chaser v'atanya amalo Rabbi Kiva. Now, in our Mishnah, so what was Rabbi Kiva's final retort in the Mishnah? Look, a person can't damage themselves, but that's their prerogative. They're not allowed to do so. You can't damage them. That's the way our Mishnah finished up. The Gemara is now going to quote a brisa, which has a somewhat similar conclusion, but there is a subtle and important difference. Here in the Braisa reads as follows: Vehatanya, Amla Rabbi Kiva Salata Bamaima Dirim Ba'alata Cheres Be'adecha. So they say to Rabbi Akiva, you went into the deep water, you know, looking to fish for pearls or something precious, and what did you come up from the water? You came up from the water with Cheres Be'adecha, pieces of shard, worthless. So, Adam Rashalachava Batzmo. And then the conclusion was Rabbi Akiva. What do you mean? A person is allowed to injure and damage themselves. So that's Rabbi Akiva of the Braisa. Now, basically, he's making the same point that we had in the Mishnah, but there's a very subtle, important difference. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva says, you know, a person's not allowed to harm and damage themselves, but if they do so, okay. Yeah, right, you can't stop them. Here in the Braisa says, you know, a person's allowed to damage himself. Sure, why not? So that the point he's making is the same, but obviously it's very different. Is a person allowed to damage themselves? So I'm Rav Lokasha Kamba Chavala Kamba Boshes. So the Gemara gives an answer of Rav, and that is, look, to physically harm yourself, that's the Mishnah, that you're not allowed to do. To embarrass yourself, even when you want to make self-deprecating jokes, I do that. Not because everything I do is right, but, you know, I do that. So if you want to make self-deprecating jokes, so that you're allowed to do. And that's what the Bryce is talking about. So the Gemara says, V'hamas nisim beboshesu. So the Gemara says, don't know if that answer really works. Because consider that our Mishnah is clearly talking about boshes, and our Mishnah says that you're not allowed to. So the Gemara says, V'ktane chava ba'atma afabishen rashai potter. So hachi kamar lay. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to read the Mishnah in the following fashion, which is, Hachi Kamerle, second line down now on study Aleph Amud Beis. Lomi Bai Boshes Adam Rashal Avayishas Atzmo. Look, in terms of busha, you can embarrass yourself. You want to make self-deprecating jokes, you're certainly allowed to do so. El Afilu Chaval Dein Adam Rashal Chava Batzmo Achem Shechav Lebo Chayavim Vein Adam Rashal Chava Bat. I'm sorry, the Shechav Lebo Chayavim. But Rabbi Kiva in the Mishnah says, but I'll even take it one step further. You know embarrassment, you can embarrass yourself. You know damages, you cannot damage yourself. But if you do so, you know, you're not going to be liable. And yet, somebody else is not allowed to do so. Okay, so in other words, so basically the Mishnah is just simply a progression.
But assure me, she really didn't embarrass herself.
She.
That's the point. That maybe you can read that she did
That's
not embarrass
point.
Herself.
Right.
Okay, could be. Could be she wasn't embarrassed. Okay. Right. The nature of embarrassment is objective, subjective. Right. I could see that being a basic turning point on this whole discussion. Okay. Ve'ena de mashal chava batzma v'atayin, the Gemara says now. Again, we are saying unequivocally that a person is not allowed to injure themselves, the Gemara says, but consider. Ve'atayin yachol nishba la'ra batzma v'lo la'ra ye'pat tatam alam la'ra le'tiv. A person can make a shvua either to do something good for themselves or to do something bad to themselves. And you're going to be liable for violating your shvua. Okay, then this is a shvuas discussion. But in the discussion, clearly what's at stake over here is that a person is allowed to make a shvua in order to do some sort of harm to themselves. So mahatava rishus av hara rishus. So avi nishba l'hara ba'atzma v'lo hara. So included in that is a person who makes a shvua that he's going to do something bad, and then he didn't do it, and then he's in violation of a shvua. But again, the underlying assumption is that you're allowed to make such a shvua. So Amar Shmuel be'eshev betanis. So Shmuel says, "Oh, you know, when we say injure yourself, we're not talking about actual self-infliction. That's usur. What we're talking about is not eating, right? That's what the shvua is. That's the raw. That's the bad." So Gemara says, "Tekavisega be haras acherim la shivam betanis so acherim ki mi mosiv lahu betanisa." So the Gemara says, "Okay, so but what if somebody else makes a shvua that he's going to do that to you? Can somebody else force you not to eat?" So the Gemara says, "Sure." In demahadik lebanjuna, second time in this parak that we had this expression, and that is they could lock you in a room. And once they lock in a room, so then you won't be able to eat. That time the Gemara quotes a brisa, "Ezu haras acherim akeh ploni v'afatzes mocho." The Gemara says that we have a brisa, and the brisa says that making a shvua of hitting somebody or knocking him right in the skull. So now this brisa certainly is working with the assumption that hara'a means injury. So now, if that's true, it sounds like, according to this brisa, a person would be allowed to injure themselves. And finally, the Gemara concedes. Tanaihi. Interestingly enough, this is a machlokas tanaim. Of all the things that are subject to a debate, I would not think this is up for debate. This is up for debate. One tan is of the opinion that you're not allowed to damage yourself and injure yourself. And the other is of the opinion that you are allowed to damage yourself. Now, in terms of the halacha is very clear. The halacha sides with the first position that a person is not allowed to. But there is, it's an interesting opinion in the Gemara, there is an opinion out there that says the person is allowed to injure themselves. So the Gemara says, let's find where is the source in the Torah that says that a person is not allowed to injure themselves. So the Gemara says, "Detanya v'achas damchem lenafsho sechem edrosh." Rabbi Lazar Omer miyad nafsho sechem edrosh es dimchem. So the Gemara says that if a person takes his own life, so Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be upset with him. The Rambam writes famously and somewhat ironically that when a person commits suicide, he's chayv misa. Now, I know. But what it means is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to treat you, your neshama, as if you murdered, because you did. And it just happens to be that the victim of the murder was yourself. But you're chayv misa, you are a murderer. But obviously not open for corporal punishment. So the Gemara says, "Vidilma." So you see from here that you're not allowed to injure yourself. But the Gemara notes the basic distinction that we can make. "Vidilma katalashani." Okay, that's talking about killing yourself. We're not talking about killing yourself. We're talking about injuring yourself, and you can make a very easy distinction. So, "Ela haitanahu detanya makaren alameis velo midarchei amori." If you, God forbid, have somebody, if you lost a loved one, you lost a family member, so you do kriya, you tear your clothing. However, I'm sorry, v'lomi darchei amari, and this is not considered darchei amari. So amar avilazu shemati shemakari ala mesio semidai loke vishum bal tashkis. Now kriya, fine, but once you do kriya extensively, so now you're no longer doing the mitzvah of kriya. You're just destroying. And there's a prohibition in the Torah about tashkis. You're not allowed to destroy. V'choshekein gufo, and certainly you're not allowed to harm your body as well. V'dilma begadim shani dipsei delo hadarhu. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we could make the following distinction, and a very interesting distinction. When you tear your clothing, that's irreparable damage. When you inflict yourself on your body, all right, you'll recover. Right, that's not irreparable. So the Gemara says, "Yehad Rav Yochanan Kar Lamane Me Michuv Dasa." This Gemara sounds familiar. We saw this Gemara back in Shabbos. Rav Yochanan, whenever he referred to his clothing, he called it that which honors me, meaning that when you dress, and you dress nicely, so you are honored by your clothing. V'Rav Chista Kan Hava Maske Ben Hizmi. When Rav Chista would be walking amongst the thorns, so V'Haga Madlu Lamane. So what he would do is he would lift up his whatever he was wearing, his tunic, and so that the tunic wouldn't get torn. Okay, his legs would get all torn up. Okay, legs will heal. And he says that. Amar zem mala aruka v'zeino mala aruka. Yep, that's right. My legs are going to heal. Scratches are going to heal. But if my tunic gets torn, that's irreparable. Ella haitanu detanya. So we are still looking for a source where we see that a person's not allowed to injure themselves. The Gemara says, Amar v'lazer ha'kafer b'rebi ma'tam alam v'chiper alam me'asher chata ala nefesh. So we turn to Parshas Nazir, where the Nazir abstains himself from some of the simple pleasures of life, including wine. So over here, abstention from wine, so that's not good. The Torah calls him a chote. And look where the Gemara has to go to in order to teach us that you're not allowed to injure yourself. We're going to Nazir, where there is just an abstention from a physical pleasure. And the kavachom is very simple. If you're abstaining from a physical pleasure and that's considered chote, imagine injuring yourself, you're for sure considered a chote. This is seemingly the source that teaches us that one is not allowed to injure themselves. The Gemara, this is the third try of the Gemara. The Gemara is concluded over here. See, this seems to be it. Hakotzev neti osav. We are now on to the cutting of your saplings, where, again, the Mishnah's point was, you're not allowed to do it, but if you cut your own saplings, so you're not going to be liable. So the Gemara now discusses Tani Rabba Baba Khana Kame de Rav Shari Arakta Nityosa Katsatsa Ata Amarta Lila Hargo Ata Amarta Lila Kotso Pater. Let's say I go into someone else's property and I cut their sapling or I kill their ox. And then I'm taken to court. And my defense is, listen to this, this is amazing. My defense is the owner told me to do so. I was instructed. He told me to do so. And the Braisa concludes, okay, good. That's an excellent defense.
But is there an Shalach B'Dvar?
Meaning, it's not... The Braisa says it's an excellent defense. Watch the Gemara discuss now the Braisa. So, Amar Le'im Kei Mashavakta Chai Lebriyasa. So, Kol Kaminei. So, his reaction, okay, the Rav was hearing the Braisa. In other words, an Amara was saying this Braisa over in front of Rav. So, Rav's reaction when he hears the Braisa is, you have got to be kidding me. Now, I'm paraphrasing. If I can translate the Gemara a little more literally, it says, you have not left livelihood for people. Kol kamine is it within his power. You cannot possibly believe or expect that a person can just simply defend himself by saying, yes, he told me to do so. That can't be a good defense. So Amar Yisame, so the Amara says to Rav, okay, so you don't like the Braisa. Shall we take the Braisa and should we put it somewhere where we never see it again? Okay, and remember, Braisas were constantly reviewed, constantly edited to make sure that they were good Braisas. So what the Amar realized is that Rav's reaction certainly gives the indication this is not a good Braisa. Amar le lo titargem lo. Titargem masnicha, so he says, look, keep the Braisa. And this is how you can interpret the Braisa. Bishor ha'omei la'riga v'ilan ha'omei la'ketzitza. Let's say the ox stood to be killed. Let's say the tree stood to be cut. Meaning that It was the kind of ox where everyone understood ox needed to be terminated. Right? The Rashi says, as an example, Shor Shehemis, meaning, let's say the ox killed. Oh, okay, fine. So now we know the fate of the ox is somebody's going to kill it. So now you could say plausibly as a defense, yeah, I was told to do so. That's fair. Or the tree was meant to be cut down. Rashi gives an example over here. What kind of tree are we talking about? Rashi writes, an Asherah. Okay, we just read it in last week's Parsha. You got to cut down the trees that are Asherah trees. They're meant to be used for Avodah Zarah. So So the Gemara says, okay, now I'm going to ask you a very simple question. Why was you taken to court? Meaning, what was even the claim to begin with? Meaning, you shechted the Asherah Niskal, and you cut down an Asherah tree, and good for you. Meaning, not bad, good. You did what you're supposed to do. So the Gemara says, so why are you taken to court? So here, fascinating answer. So the claim was, you stole my mitzvah. Okay, if you've ever heard that kind of banter, so this is the daf. It's Bab Bakama, Daf Tzadi Aleph and Beis. Today's daf. I know, really, yesterday's daf, but today's daf. That is where the source in the Gemara is for the idea of stealing mitzvahs. And the Gemara says, "D'tanya." The Gemara quotes the price of Shach v'Chisa. You know that when you shecht animals, not all animals, it has to be either chaya, non-domesticated animals, or birds, ofos. So there's a mitzvah of kisui adam. You got to cover the blood. So misha shafech chichaseh. So and who has the right to cover the blood? Meaning it's a mitzvah. Who has the privilege, the right to cover the blood? The one who did the shechita. So he has the right to cover the blood. Now somebody shechted a bird or a chaya, and along comes somebody else and covers the blood. So he intercepted the mitzvah. Find the man who stole the mitzvah. And he find him 10 gold coins. Now we cannot, as an obvious point, we cannot put a price on a mitzvah. There's no way that this money actually correlates to what the value of the mitzvah is. It's just that we find people so they don't do that again. Don't steal people's mitzvahs. So, Asar Zehuvim, I don't know how much that translates into, but I'm sure it pinches. Amar Rav Dikla Detan Kava, Asar Lemiktsitzei. We are now in the discussion about Tashchis. There are not that many Gemaras that talk about Baal Tashchis. This is one of the primary sources in the Gemara that talks about Baal Tashchis. If a tree has a kav, that is a measurement. If a palm tree has a kav of dates, so then you're not allowed to cut down the palm tree, and that you would be in violation of Baal Tashchis. The Gemara quotes a brisa kama yehei bazus v'lo yiktsitsu rova. V'lo yiktsitsu rova. So here in the brisa, when we're talking about the olive tree, we're talking about a quarter of a kav. That's much different. 25% of what a kav is. So shani zaysim de chashiva. The Gemara says okay, but relatively speaking, the olives are a more significant fruit. A quarter of a kav of olives is significant. Therefore, you're not allowed to cut down the tree. Am Rabbi Chanina lo shachiv shivchat bari ela de kat tanese below zmana. A piece of Gemara that scares a lot of people, and it should, is that Rabbi Chanina attested the fact that his son died as a result that he had a taina, he had a fig tree, and he cut down the fig tree prematurely, and as a result of that, his son died. Okay, we're going to see it in the parsha soon enough. It's at the end of Parsha Shoftim. Okay, there is certainly some sort of deep connection between fruit trees and people, and that's the attestment of Rabbi Chanina. Now Ravina gives the heter, the dispensation that one is allowed to cut a fruit tree, and that is if the wood is more valuable than the fruit, so then one has a heter to do so. Tanya Mehachi, the Gemara quotes a Bryce as well. Rak Eitz Asher Teidaz Ve'ilan Ma'achal. So the Kilo Eitz Ma'achal Hu Ze'ilan Srak. This is also in Parsha Shoftim, and this is talking about going to battle and going to war, and sometimes you're going to need Sometimes you're going to need wood as material to go into battle. So first you should turn to the non-fruit producing trees, and then if that's unavailable, so then you can even cut down a fruit tree. So if you're allowed to cut down any tree, why does the Torah start off by saying ki lo eitz ma'achal, a non-fruit tree? So the Gemara says la'aktim srak la'ma'achal. So the Gemara says exactly for this very reason, so that the non-fruit tree should be cut down before the fruit tree. Yachol, top of Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph, Yachol afilu me'ula bedamim. Now, what if it's really valuable? So, meaning that the wood is more valuable than the fruit. So, tamalam or rocks. No, even still, you should still take the non-fruit tree over the fruit tree. Okay. Tamalama rak. I'm sorry. Shmuel Aisele Arise Tamre. Shmuel, a sharecropper, brought to Shmuel some dates. Achel time behu time of the chamra. Now, as he was eating the dates, he noticed that the dates had a hint of wine. I know it's usually the opposite. When you're drinking wine, it has hints of, or at least that's what it says on the bottle, and I'm still not convinced. But okay, but the date that he ate had the hint of the taste of grape, of wine. So Amalei Mai Hai. So Shmuel says what's going on? So Amalei Beni Gufne Kaime. So the response is a very simple one. Yeah, the date tree was growing amongst vines. Now you'll say Kalayim, but I'll say to you, we're talking about Shmuel, we're in Chutz Aretz, right? Kalayim only applies in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz Aretz. Okay. So Amar Machshe Bechamre. So Shmuel says, oh, but that's not good. That's not good. Meaning because the fact that they're grown together is going to make the wine, the grape, inferior. So he says, okay, with that... So he says, tomorrow what I want is I want the roots. Sounds like, under such circumstances, once again, you have some sort of heter to rip up the vines in order to protect your dates. Okay, sounds that way. Rav Chista, one more story. Rav Chista chazei tale begufne. Rav Chista saw... amongst his vines, some sort of tali. Amarle Larisa Akrina Gufne Kani Dekale Dekale. Gufne Kani Dekale Dekale Lo Kani Gufne. So once again, there was a mixture of dates and grapes growing in the same in the same field. And he turns to a sharecropper and he says to a sharecropper, "Look, I need you to tear it up. The grapes absorb the taste of the date, but not vice versa. The dates do not absorb the taste of the grapes." Okay, so again, what it certainly sounds like is that you have some sort of a terem. In other words, the heter that the Gemara is very clear about is in the event that the wood is greater in value than that of the fruit. And it sounds like also if you have some sort of detriment from one fruit tree to another fruit tree, it also sounds like in the Gemara you have some sort of heter as well. Obviously, you have a question regarding your fruit trees, you go to your local Orthodox rabbi. We're starting the Mishnah now on Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph, Afal Pi Shehunosin Lo. Now, we have spent a lot of time in this parak, all the time in this parak, talking about when you damage another person, so you have to pay chavala, teshlomei chavala, you have to give money. And now we're learning in our Mishnah, that's not enough. Meaning you made reimbursement for that which you did to him. Okay. And you're only halfway, I'm using the word halfway, not literally, but you're only halfway there in terms of doing what you need to do. Then you need to do probably something more difficult than paying him money, and that is ask for forgiveness. So, Alpha Pishu Nosin Lo, Ein Nimchalo Achi Vakish Mimenu. You must ask for forgiveness, for Mechila. So the Gemara says, Shenemer Vata Shevish Eishes. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Avimelech, return that woman back to Avraham. So the pasuk goes on to say, "Va'ata ashev eishes aish ki navihu v'yispalel ba'adcha v'chaya." I'm just reading the pasuk. So he's a navi, meaning Avraham, and he'll daven on your behalf, and you're going to live. V'imein chameshiv daki mos tamos atav v'chol shalach. And if you don't return him, you're going to die. So encrypted over here is the idea that he's going to daven for you. Why is he going to daven for you? Because you're going to ask him to. So the Gemara says, so, and how do I know that? Now, from the victim standpoint, So you should forgive. So, and if you don't, you're considered obstruction. Because what was Avram's reaction? Oh, okay, fine. Yeah, of course. In other words, you'll give me back my wife, and of course I'll daven for you. So ha'omer simeth ene kates yadi shaver es ragli chayev. So if a person says, go ahead, blind me, cut my hand off, break my leg, I give you permission. So chayev. So first of all, permission not granted, meaning you shouldn't do it, and you're also going to be financially liable. Even though the person said, go ahead. However, amanas liftor chayev, so the and even if I say on the condition that you're going to be exempt, you're still going to be liable. We're going to come back to that later. If you say rip my clothing or break my jug, we're no longer talking about your personal body, we're just talking about your property. So you're going to be the, and you say to the person, go ahead and do it, the person's going to be chayev. But amanas liftor pater. But if you say to the person, go ahead and break my jug, and on the condition that you're going to be exempt, so under those circumstances, it's not your personal body, it's just your property, you stipulate with him very clearly that you're going to be exempt on the condition that you're going to be exempt, under those circumstances, part of the person is going to be exempt. Now, if you use somebody else as your victim, meaning not me, but that person over there, and I'm telling you, you're going to be exempt, as the Mishnah says, and it's kind of obvious, that it doesn't matter whether it's the person, it doesn't matter whether it's his possessions, you're going to be liable. You certainly do not have the right to waive other people's properties. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. We are in the Gemara. We're starting the Gemara in Sadi Beza. Manav kol elu shamru demei bushaso aval tzara afilo hevi kol elei nevayo sheba olam einim chalo aji vakesh mimenu. All these things we said is the value of the boshes. But the pain, even if you bring elei nevayos, right? You bring carbon after carbon. So you're not going to be forgiven until you go to the person and you ask for rachmanus and forgiveness. And the Gemara asks the obvious question. What was the argument that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made to Avimelech? Go return her to him because Eshes Navi. Because she's the wife of a prophet. And if he wasn't the prophet, so then you wouldn't have to return the wife? Like, that's just, obviously that can't be. I'm Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, I'm Rabbi Yonasan, Hashev Eishas Aish Mikoma Kom. So in other words, you return her anyway. Udika Amar Tagoy Gam Tzadik Tarogen. What about your argument? Meaning your argument was, I didn't do anything wrong, I didn't know she was married. So Alohu Amarlo Achoti, he in fact, he said to me, she's my sister. So what did I do wrong? V'higam hi amra achihu, and she also bought into the story. So navihu ukvar limed achsanai shabaliir al iske achil v'shtia sholem aso o al iske ishto sholem aso. To which that's what Hashem was telling to Avimelech. He's a navi, meaning he's so much smarter than you make him out to be. Because when he first came into town, what did you ask him about? Not, hi, how are you? Not, do you need a place to stay? But who is that woman? So, and he's a Navi. And to be a Navi means you have to be smart. So he figured out already that your interest was in his wife. That's why he concocted the story about her being the sister. So, Ishtechu Achosechu Mikan Labenoch Shenerek Shayol Lomo Velo Lamed. And the Gemara says over here, it's an indictment of Avimelech. So that, in other words, he should have known better. Even though he didn't know any better, he should have known better. And so therefore, they're going to be held accountable even for things they did not know but should have known.